Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Tongue is about to books. One, two, one, two, three, four.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I am your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy.
And it is the Max Fun Drive. It is our second and final Max Fun Drive episode. Sydney, what does that mean to me, the listener?
Well, that means...
I mean, I'm the host, but you get it.
Right. No, I understand. And also, I think you should say Max Fun Drive 2025 because it rhymes and it
sounds
good.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
We haven't said that rhyme enough. We are a listener-supported network.
Right.
That means we count on you, listeners, to become members with a monthly donation to help us on our network make the shows that you enjoy, to make more of them, to make them better, to make them sound better, to do more research for the episodes, to spend more time on them. We count on you. And so once a year, we come to you and say, hey, if you can help us out and become a Max Fun member with a monthly donation, we would really appreciate it.
So this week, because we wanted to say thank you to you, our listeners, we wanted to keep having a couple fun ones, a couple fun Sawboneses.
A couple fun Sawboneses. You didn't say that. You didn't say MaximumFun.org/join.
Oh, is that my part in it?
You usually do the URL.
MaximumFun.org/join. We just cut that in.
Yeah.
Wherever, you know. We decided to just cut you some slack this week. You know, let's just have a little fun, right? We're going to talk about Dr. Odyssey, Shark Attack, and the follow-up. Dr. Odyssey, Shark Attack, Orcas Attack.
Orcas Attack.
Yeah, it is actually called Shark Attack Part 2, Orca. That'll be after the break. First, we'll start with Shark Attack, part one.
Now, if you remember, we've talked about Dr. Odyssey before, right?
Indeed. We did an entire episode on it. And we will be talking about some story beats in the show. So if you want to go in completely ignorant of the events of these episodes, just come back to these after you've enjoyed them yourself.
Sure. Sure. Now, where we last left, the plot of Dr. Odyssey is pretty straightforward. He's the doc on a cruise ship. And wild stuff happens. It's a Ryan Murphy show, so weird stuff happens.
Right.
And then there's like it was a love triangle between him and his nurse practitioner and his nurse.
Avery and Tristan.
Yes, except then it was not so much a triangle as a threesome.
Yes, so at the end of the last episode of the season finale, we found out that Avery is pregnant.
But whose
baby is it?
We don't know.
We don't know. So we're going to jump right into that.
Right.
With a shark attack.
Yes.
With a shark attack.
So that's what's happening. So it's only the crew on board, right? We're in between cruises. We have no passengers.
Yes.
As this episode opens up.
Right. It is an empty. And that is rare. This has been the first week that hasn't been like themed to a week of the cruise, right?
It was themed to sharks.
Right. It was themed about sharks.
Shark Week. One of the other crew
Which I
members,
bet they wanted to call it Shark Week because the other ones have been phrased that, you know.
Oh, man. I bet they did.
Yeah, I bet they wanted to.
Do you think they weren't allowed to?
They probably can't. Yeah, legally, they can't.
So one of the other crew members is out surfing. They're taking a break. The first mate is out surfing, and he gets attacked by a shark. And he gets a terrible shark bite on his foot, ankle area.
Yeah.
And they rush him back to the ship where Dr. Odyssey stabilizes him, but then is like, we got to get him to a hospital to save this foot.
Right.
Because the arteries have all been torn. This is the conceit. And so we are up against the clock to save his foot. Except as they're headed quickly to the shore.
Right.
They find out that there's a distress call from another ship.
What?
And so then they have to go rescue this other ship. They're bound by sea law,
Law dictates.
Right. Is that, I'm assuming, is that right? Sea law?
Sea.
Ocean law?
Maritime law dictates
that if a cruise ship hears a distress signal, it has to go.
Right. And so it does. It goes to see what's going on.
And they find a bunch of people in a raft because the boat's been sunk by...
You guessed it.
Well, they... Initially,
you didn't guess
like,
it because it actually didn't. Wouldn't make much sense.
It wouldn't because they're like, the boat was sunk by a shark. And they're like, that's impossible. No. But the shark did bite two of the people.
Yes. These sharks, these episodes are themed around aquatic attacks that are not depicted in the budget of this show.
No.
Not available to you. You are going to get a lot of talk about sharks. You may see one in a formation from time to time through the water, but
there's a fin.
Yeah, you get a fin.
You get some brief flashes of a shark, and I'm going to be honest, it's not really that much better than Big Shark.
Yes. The thing is, the sharks are, for whatever reason, attacking the boat. And Don Johnson tries to contextualize this by saying, yes, I too have been on a boat where animals have attacked us.
Where sharks attacked. No, they say, like, we don't think the shark attacked the boat. That doesn't make sense. But anyway, the shark attacked these people. So they rush them back to the ship, and they're like, okay, this girl got bitten in the side. This is not a big deal. We clean these wounds out, no problem. But her boyfriend has gotten bitten so badly in both his leg and arm that they're going to have to do a double amputation. There's no time. He's going to die if they wait till they get to shore. He's too unstable to take a tender boat. So we're going to perform a double amputation on this cruise ship.
Yes. Now, Sid, when we're, just to make this somewhat redeeming, educationally speaking, mm-hmm. when we're thinking about an amputation, because it is such a hot topic on this week's episode.
Yes.
What are we really thinking about?
Do you mean what is
it? What are some of our primary concerns, right? Because to a layman, it may seem as simple as chopping off a limb, right? But there's obviously a lot more to it than that.
Well, yeah.
And we've talked about it in episodes where I'm not asking for a full, you know, recounting of our concerns here, but yeah.
So, okay. First of all, I mean, we're not going to do this on a cruise ship. If you're talking about an actual amputation in an OR, you're going to be able to control for, like, sterilization, so, like, you know, keep it from getting infected. You're going to be able to monitor the patient closely for blood pressure, vital, you know, to make sure they're stable throughout the surgery. Mm-hmm. You're going to watch for blood loss. Obviously, this is a major surgery. You're having a whole limb removed. Mm-hmm. So blood, and especially in these cases, they've already lost a lot of blood because they got, you know, bitten by sharks.
Yes.
And then what we need to do as we do the amputation is make sure that what is left is something that we can reform into an appropriate, mm-hmm. you know, appendage. Mm-hmm. So you want to, usually like the bone is cut a little shorter so that then the other tissues can fold over it. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Sure, yeah.
So, and it's a stepwise process.
A little bit of overlap.
You don't just like lop through the whole thing. Mm. You usually cut through the layers of tissue and muscle and whatnot first to expose the entire bone. So you have a really clear cutting surface to then saw through the bone.
They get a really terrifying saw from they don't have a saw on the boat.
Right, they don't have a bone saw.
The bone saw is not ready.
You know what was interesting to me? They don't have a bone saw, but I have assisted in amputations in my life.
Brag.
And we did not use the bone saw in the ones that I assisted with. We used this wire, this like toothed wire with handles on either end, and you loop it under the bone, and then if you can imagine sort of like pulling up and down to saw it back and forth.
Yeah, I can't imagine it, but should I?
And
nope.
That it feels like that's such a low-tech item that you could store that on a cruise ship. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, they go for the power tool.
I mean, he's got a dialysis machine.
They make a lot of hay out of that.
Yes, they do. They use the dialysis machine a lot in the first season.
They're very proud of their dialysis.
So anyway, they do the double amputation. And I should note, there was a trauma surgeon aboard the other vessel.
Yeah.
And so now we have Hot Shark Doctor. Is that what they call her?
That is her name, yes.
Hot Shark Doctor.
That is how she is credited on IMDb. No, she is Dr. Brooke Lane, a real person, played by Adrian Palicki.
But they do call her Hot Shark Doctor on the episode.
We have got a lot of people bringing the guest heat. Rumor Willis is there.
Mm-hmm. Is one of the shark bite victims.
We've also got the first character on the autism spectrum. Let's see, Liam Johnson as played by Ray Baldwin. Now, I don't know about Mr. Baldwin's particulars with his mental situation vis-a-vis playing an autistic character, but I do want to say that he mentions a neuro spice on his Instagram profile, so who knows? I don't know his journey, but he does a really, I think it's a really interesting inclusion. Sid, as a physician, what did you think about this this character, who is a first officer who had been a very capable first officer who had been working with Hot Shark Doctor, Dr. Brooke Lane, excuse me.
They call her Hot Shark Doctor on the show. Yeah, we are not calling her that. They say that on the show. So, no, I don't feel like as a physician it's for me to comment on, like, you know, authentic representation of an autistic person.
No, I don't feel like that. No.
Yeah. I thought that's what you were asking me. I would have to ask somebody on the spectrum.
As a TV viewer, we've seen different, depictions. I will say that I thought it was a little ham-fisted how early they had to work in the fact that this officer is on the autism spectrum. It is, like, literally almost the first, like, conversation this person has, and it is in the context of them not tolerating, like, it's in their manner, right? Is it the first time
They're impatient. He's impatient.
Oh, he's impatient, right.
And that he wants to get his vitals checked the last time so he can be cleared to go back to work.
Right.
And he's being impatient with Tristan.
Right.
And Dr. Brooke Lane says, well, it's because he's autistic and autistic people are impatient, which is also kind of a sweeping generalization.
You're making a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a little, all the other characters seem to be somewhat unfamiliar with autism, which
that
I thought,
is what troubled me the most, honey.
Most people are somewhat, like, you don't have to be a medical professional to be somewhat familiar with the concept of autism spectrum disorder.
Listen, I recognize my road dogs almost instantly, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like, you see it. Like, it's very recognizable, I feel like, that...
Are you saying you know each other, like, as a member of the community?
As a member of the community, like, okay. I feel like I see people, you know what I mean? Like, I see the hints, and I feel like there has been so many coded characters, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so many, that it feels weird for it to be explicit, I think. You know what I mean? Because it's almost like we run into lots of people in our day-to-day life. Maybe this is just my life is cooler than most people's, but I run into a lot of people who would appear to externally be on the autism spectrum or would have some of those characteristics. And, like, I don't feel like we necessarily are going around and be like, hold up, let me clarify something right now. Are you on the autism spectrum? It's like, okay, we could just be people.
Well, that I wondered about that too, just because we talked about the show The Pit last week.
Yes.
And there is a character, we didn't really talk about this, but there's a character that I think is supposed to be autism spectrum coded, I believe. Now, I have not seen the whole season, and maybe they address this. Maybe this is said, and I just haven't gotten that far. But she seems to be, and I think in a lot of the way she's interacting with patients and some of her strengths and weaknesses, I think that's what they're trying to communicate through the character, which I feel like a lot of people would pick up on without anyone having to say it.
I also would say, though, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, this is a mainstream network TV primetime drama. Like, it is not, I don't think, maybe you can't make the assumption that everybody watching is going to be as familiar with some of these. So you're, like, trying to contextualize it a little bit.
Yeah, that's
sense.
Sure. I tend to take a lot of things for granted if they're medical at all, because I never know what I know because I'm a doctor and what I just know because a lot of people know this.
Right.
But anyway, they do the double amputation, and does the power goes off in the first episode?
Shark Doctor and Pacey are not exactly caught in flagrante by Avery.
They're definitely flirting.
Yeah, she needs to take Dr. Brooke Lane needs to take a shower, which actually Dr. Brooke Lane sounds worse than Hot Shark Doctor to me now that I say it out loud. It sounds actually more made up. But yeah, Avery comes into the room. She had gone in to take a shower, then realizes, oh my gosh, maybe he isn't the potential father that he tried to say that he wanted to be in this potential baby's life, maybe.
Yeah, because what they've struggled with from the previous episode is that Dr. Odyssey was pretty controlling and kind of sexist about his reaction to the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Like, he should have a say in what she does.
Yeah.
Whereas Tristan was very much like, your body, your choice. I'm here no matter what.
Yeah.
And if you have this baby, I don't care who the dad is. I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
I'm a part of this baby's life. So, like, She's struggling with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she sees Max flirting with Shark Doctor, and she's hurt, and then the power goes out.
Well, then she has the idea of taking, right before the power goes out, they're in the middle of the amputation. I did want to remind you, they had the idea of taking the arteries from the other foot, and
yes,
like Shark Doctor is like, I have a foot in a bag, holds it up.
Well, that's because, so our first mate, his foot is dying. Because we have delayed him getting to shore for so long, his foot is dying.
Right.
And he's going to lose it, and they're trying to save it. So they take an artery from the foot they've amputated from the other guy, and they transplant it into him, which is a heck of a thing to
heck
do on a cruise
ship. Heck of a thing
ship.
On a boat. Heck of a thing on a
there
boat.
There are a lot of things.
That should be the name of this show. Heck of a thing on a boat.
There are a lot of things that are, like, is that something we do? Yes. I mean, that is possible. Not on a boat.
She literally pulls this rusty, dusty, crusty old, as our kids say, old foot out of a trash can. No, sorry. It is a cooler.
It is a cooler.
She pulls it out of a cooler. She's like, I got your arteries right here. It's like, gross. No, thank you. Anyway, the orcas or the sharks attack the ship.
Yes.
It's orcas. That's right, folks. It's not just sharks we're worried about. Don Johnson's old enemy, killer whales.
Orcas. So I guess now this is what is interesting. Orcas have been known to attack ships.
Yes.
This is not, I had to look this up. I don't know this because of medical school. They don't teach you that. Orcas do, and it looks like from what I read that they very specifically will attack like rudders of ships, which would, I assume, be bad for the ship.
Yeah, for the ship.
And that they also appear to have a behavior like they're teaching each other to do this, which is all of this is terrifying, by the way. I wasn't, like, not scared of orcas before.
Now you're extra.
But now I am scared of orcas, I guess, because they're very smart. We all knew that. And then also they attack ships. And so now the orcas are attacking the Odyssey, which shouldn't matter because it's a giant cruise ship, except it ends up with, like, it knocks something, which causes a fire, which in order to fix the fire, they have to shut down the power. So now they're plunged into darkness, and they've got three patients basically at this point who are unstable, need antibiotics, need blood, have limbs in various states of amputation.
Yes.
And they're in darkness.
Yes. Credits. To be continued.
To be continued.
And also to be continued on this, like, podcast episode.
Yes.
Because it's Max Fun Drive time. Sydney, in the past year, I think we've seen the media landscape change so much. We've seen shows fold. We've seen companies collapse. We've seen really where people's interests lie. And I think that it has been so, especially this year, has been so gratifying. And so I've been so grateful to be a part of a network that is funded in a different way with different priorities and by you, the people that like it.
Yeah, I agree, Justin. It means so much that you all are willing to put your money towards something that you enjoy to help support us in making the shows that we make and in hopefully making more of them, making them better for you. It means the world. I love that you listen, but if you have the money and you have the time to, you know, become a member, this is also the time to do it.
Yep.
Because during the Max Fun Drive, not only is it's kind of like a party, like it's a fun time, like you're part of the, woo, you know, it's
fun.
Wow,
you sound like somebody who's been to a lot of parties.
Yeah,
right
well,
now.
That's what happens. It's a party where you go and then they give you a present.
Whoa.
Because if you become a member right now,
yeah,
there's stuff you get.
Yeah, because if $5 a month, if you just do that, boy, that is so helpful. I don't know if that seems like a lot to you, but to us it does because all those $5 really adds up and you are going to get days and days and days of Maximum Fun bonus content. Special episodes. We've done videos. We've done, what have we done, Sid? We've done, we've gone into the drugstore and looked at stuff. You've done episodes with Charlie before.
We played New York City Emergency Room Medical Mysteries, Will Your Patient Survive the Night Game?
Yes, it was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. You can listen to all that. If you can do $10 a month, you are going to get that bonus content, but you're also going to pick up a show-specific pin from whatever your favorite podcast might happen to be. The Sawbones one this year says, kill all the mosquitoes, and I think that's great.
Yes. I love this pin.
Mm-hmm. And I love that we get to be in a network that is supported by you, the people. The ad market is tough. You've probably noticed that sometimes Sawbones episodes do have ads, and sometimes they don't have ads, and that is because it's been tough out there with ads lately, and we are really lucky that we have you to rely on to help pick up the slack there, because it allows us to be picky about who we sponsor on the show, and it also keeps us solvent, you know, when things are really bad out there.
Yeah, we really appreciate all your support so much. This would be a great time if you can become a member. Please do. If you already are a member and you're thinking, you know what, I would like to upgrade my membership, this is a great time to do it, because you get a gift when you do it.
We really, I think that, you know, I think the work we do on Sawbones is important. I think what you do is important, mainly. I do jokes about it, but I think the work that this show does is important. And it really means a lot to me to have a place that I know people can come to and get reliable information about science when that seems to be under attack on so many fronts. So thank you for letting us do Sawbones specifically, because I really am proud of this show, and I really appreciate the support. And if you could find it in your heart to kick us $5 a month, $10 a month, to help us keep it going. I really appreciate it, I guess. MaximumFun.org/join. Shark Attack Part 2 Orca exclamation point is the technical name of the 10th episode of Dr. Odyssey. Yes, that's right. The orcas are attacking the ship.
And what we've learned is that the orcas probably caused the initial ship to sink, because that makes more sense.
Yes.
But I guess they're sharks so don't usually attack ships. Anyway, but the orcas do, and they have all these theories. I thought that was fascinating. Why do the orcas attack the ships? And they're trying to get people to fall in the ocean to attract sharks that then the orcas will eat?
Mm-hmm.
The sharks?
Yeah.
Their livers?
Yeah.
So there you go.
There you go.
I don't know if that's true, but they said that on
that's
the show.
What they say. Yeah, and it is. They are scouring the ship for any drugs that they can find. They're running low on supplies. That's another thing that is like, they're running low on supplies, but we really only ever see those few patients. There's just the three people. Like, nobody else comes in. I don't know where all the supplies are going.
Well, to be fair, I would bet this is a little more reflective of real life, because what they're running low on specifically are IV antibiotics and blood products.
What are blood products?
Like plasma? Blood. Like, yes. Plasma, blood. To give people who need blood. I would bet they don't store a lot of those things on cruise ships. I mean, because traditionally you wouldn't think you would need a lot of those things on cruise ships. So I think that actually is pretty realistic. But they start scouring the ship to look for any sort of antibiotic specifically, because right now what you have are, and this is one thing that did, I mean, there's a lot of things that stretch the bounds of credibility medically on this show, right?
That's not the point of Dr. Odyssey. Yes, absolutely.
But all these patients are becoming septic from their wounds, like, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just say that the way infection works is that, generally speaking, you do not become septic from a wound infection within hours of receiving the wound.
What if you were already a super dirty dog, Sid? What if you were already a super dirty dog colonized by lots of funky stuff? Could you get septic then?
There's an acronym, or there's a mnemonic that you learn for post-op infections, and it's W's. There's wind and water and wound and wonder drug. But the point is, what are the causes of a post-op fever? And the things that you think of first, like, they're in the order of more common things. Wound is further down the line.
Mm.
There are other things that cause fevers,
yeah,
like your urinary tract infections, or you could have a blood clot.
Or
wind, it has to do with, like, atelectasis, meaning little collapsed areas in the bottoms of your lungs that can cause a fever sometimes,
about,
or like a clot, or like a UTI,
or a wood shark tooth.
Wood shark tooth. No, that, I think that
it
would be
just
another.
Just happens to be causing infection.
Wonder drug is also like sometimes. Antibiotics can cause fevers, which is weird,
right,
but it happens. Anyway, wound is further down the line, because if somebody just had a surgery and they are going to get an infection in that wound, in that surgery site, you wouldn't expect it to happen overnight. It takes a while for, like, the bacteria to grow. I mean, just think about, like, Petri dishes. You don't, like, inoculate a Petri dish and then have bacteria on it an hour later, generally speaking. That's not how things work. So the rate at which all these patients become septic is strange. And it feels like something that someone should have known. But whatever. It's because one of them has a shark tooth floating around in her body.
They finally reached the distress call earlier, the raft, you know, that they were dealing with. But out there, there's one of the key scenes of the episode where we see, by the way, I don't know if this is important, but Avery, I think, has sort of decided that Tristan is more deserving of her affections, and she seems to be leaning that way. She plants a smoocheroosky on him.
Yes.
And then she's in the tender ship.
Well, no, they're trying to get the tender ship to shore. They're trying to get the two most critical patients to shore in the tender ship.
Yes. I'm jumping forward a little bit.
Yeah.
Shark Doctor and Avery are in the tender ship together, and Avery's asking for her feedback on med school, and I wanted to get your thought on that scene.
Yes. So Avery, as we know from last season, has been accepted to medical school. And so she's asking this fellow female physician for advice on medical school. And I just thought it was so strange. Surely they have a doctor telling, I don't know. But so the advice was, first of all, you already know everything that's in the lectures because you're a nurse practitioner. Okay, well, that's probably fair. There's probably a lot of overlap there in that training. And so there's probably a lot of stuff that she would know. But then she says, find your favorite professor and go visit them during all their office hours and bring them coffee. And that's how you'll learn what kind of doctor you want to be. And it was just the strangest. I think maybe for undergrad, like find a mentor to help you or something is good advice, maybe. But in medical school, you don't, I mean, first of all, like your mentors would probably end up being physicians. Most of my initial classes were taught by like basic science professors. And so they wouldn't have been able to tell me what kind of doctor I want to be because
what made them so basic, Sid?
No. Like they weren't physicians. And so by
Whoa,
the time I started,
that's what makes them basic?
No, I mean,
sheesh.
That's not what I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Whoa.
I don't know. It was just very strange advice. I mean, like the advice I give when somebody asks me about medical school is study harder than you think you have to in the beginning. It's always easier to dial it back than to get behind and then try to catch up and learn study skills. Study too much. No. Because, I mean, you're learning a whole new language. It's hard. It's hard. And so study as much as you possibly can and then keep an open mind. Try every specialty. Walk into everyone with the mind like, maybe I'll love this, and then see what happens. She also gives her the advice of in your med school and residency interviews, they're going to ask you if you want to have kids. And you should lie and say you don't. Okay. This is nitpicky. It is a major match violation to ask residents. And generally speaking, you're not supposed to ask incoming medical students either. But I will speak about the match and residency process. You cannot ask potential residents for your program about their marital status, about anything about their relationship status, about whether they have children, want to have children, any of that. You cannot ask any of those things. If you even hint that you're trying to figure out if the person in front of you is going to have kids during their residency, if it is, you can get in so much trouble. You can get so many violations. And I will tell you that we go over this rigorously every match season with all of the people currently in the program to make sure that no resident makes some, because it's really easy to make some inadvertent comment about like, oh, I had kids during residency. They were so supportive. Are you thinking of starting a family? It's so easy to say something and then you've broken a major rule. That being said, there are always people who break rules, of course. And if you are somebody who's going through this process and somebody asks you one of these inappropriate questions, you should report it. Because it's unacceptable. Because whether or not you want to have a family has nothing to do with whether or not you're going to be a great match for their program.
And obviously, we can't expect Dr. Odyssey to be 100% accurate in all things. But I think for this specific thing, I thought it was worth mentioning it just so we don't start to normalize that, right? Like, people should know that it's an abnormality and they should know that it's out of line.
Exactly. And they should also know that there are a lot of programs, like the one I went through, where they didn't ask me. They told me from the jump, we're not asking if you want to have kids, but we are telling you that if you decide to start a family, we will support you. We have special rotations for new parents, and we embrace families in this family medicine residency. So there are programs out there that are welcome and opening, or open and welcoming to that. So was that a problem? Yes, it's why we have rules.
I wanted to touch on one of the wilder. Sometimes Dr. Odyssey asks its characters to do wild stuff just to keep the plot beats coming. One of the wilder things in this episode is after the foot is reattached, they go to Spencer's bed, First Officer Monroe's bed, and it's empty. And they're like, where is Monroe? And they find him on the... He's on the stairs.
He's like crawling up the stairs.
Crawling up to the deck. He's like, they need me up there. It's like, dude, listen, you know, but no one's doing this, right? No one's tossing themselves.
And he does it again later.
He does it twice. They bring him up to the... It's wild. It's such a wild beat.
He does it again later. He escapes twice. I thought that was wild. I thought the use of an acetylene torch to cut through a 6-inch steel door.
That was great.
Was pretty wild to get to the part of the ship where the powers. I don't even know what was happening. They had to find where the power was out, and they found it and they fixed it.
That was part of the acetylene torch, and they were like mid. They're looking for the thing while the lights are off, and they were like trying to close her up, but they haven't found the thing that's bleeding yet. This is Rumor Willis.
You haven't even got. So Rumor Willis is going septic, and they don't know why. So they have to open her up, and that's who they find a shark tooth inside.
I did want to mention, just because it's so funny, all the doctors are wearing these flashlights. If you can imagine a flashlight that like wraps around their necks with two light, like a light on each end, like two circles of light, sort of where their
collarbones.
Your collarbones would be. There's like two beams of light coming down, and I swear to God, gang, they have got them angled exactly on Dr. Brooke Lane's chest to where they have gotten like discreet cleavage lighting that she is constantly wearing at every scene. It is one of the wildest things I've ever seen.
I feel so Ryan Murphy.
So P.S. by the way, over on over on 911, the other Ryan Murphy mm-hmm. show this season began with a B-NATO is what's happening over there.
Oh my gosh. So as you may imagine, they get the energy back on. They use sound cannons to scare off the orcas. And then
by the way, one of the most unfortunate things, I think, in terms of the character on the autism spectrum, is very hesitant to use the sound cannons on the whales because he doesn't like loud noises.
Yes.
Hey, listen. Okay. Let's calm down a little bit, all right?
It was life or death.
You'd have to really, really hate loud noises to not want to save yourself from an attacking orca, I think.
They save everybody's life with their many surgeries. They do so many surgeries.
A lot of surgeries.
They do so many surgeries, and they save everyone's life. And then the couple, Rumor Willis and her boyfriend, who were in the shark attack, get married.
Thank you.
Immediately after, when they wake up from their surgeries.
Yeah.
And then they
Is
set off.
Is this the first time people have been married on the
I don't think so.
It feels like we've already had
I think one. We've already had weddings. And then they have a fireworks display to mm-hmm. keep the orcas from following them home, which I guess they keep fireworks on the cruise ship, and maybe that's standard. Don't know about that. I would like to point out they freeze Monroe at one point because he's like septic, and they're trying to freeze him. Oh no, they're trying. Yeah, freeze him to save his foot. Anyway, they pull an IV, they say he needs more fluids, give him cold fluids, which you can do. But they pull an IV bag out of the, like, liquid nitrogen or whatever. I don't know. There's fog everywhere. And it is a glass rectangular.
It always looks. Everything on this show is, like, designed to death. Like, they everything is gold-trimmed, you know, forceps and all this nonsense.
I still don't know what those little pulse oxy things on their fingers are. The things that read their vitals.
It's like Lady Gaga jewelry.
Yeah, it's like, it's wild. It looks like, you know, in the movie Death Becomes Her, the vial with the stuff in it that you drink.
Exactly. Perfect reference, yeah.
Everything in the OR looks like it was designed by whoever made that vial.
That's
like, that's what everything, well, I mean, don't you think? Like,
good
that's a reference that everybody would get.
Death Becomes Her energy, yeah.
Anyway,
they save the day, and Dr. Odyssey sails out for Casino Week next week, so we won't be covering that, because...
We won't be covering it, but we will
be
watching it.
And hopefully you'll be listening to our show, Sawbones,
yes.
Which is supported by you, our beloved listeners. And we're so thankful to you, by the way.
We are so thankful.
If you haven't gone to MaximumFun.org/join, this is the last chance we get to ask you to do it. And if you like our show and you want us to keep making it, please go do that right now. MaximumFun.org/join. You got other subscriptions to other stuff, and they gate things, right? Like, they won't let you watch it unless you give them money up front. And that's not the kind of thing we like to do here. If you don't have money, we still want you to listen to it, right? If you can't afford to support the shows. I get it. That's yeah. I understand.
Maybe tell a friend. Share the show. Tell somebody you like it. That always helps us out.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And either way, you listening and being here, it means the world to us. But if you are able to give, it really is a huge help. MaximumFun.org/join is that address. I want to say thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you, Sydney Small McElroy, for marrying me.
Oh,
and thanks
welcome.
To you, the listeners, for listening yet again. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.